Hello and welcome to another episode of the FutureWise podcast. Today we're going to talk about the new education policy which had come out last week. We'll be discussing it in detail, and to do just that, I have Money Control's M. Saraswati with me. Hi Saraswati, welcome to the show.
Hello Keetana.
What are the major changes in the school education part of the policy?
So as far as school education is concerned, basically the policy is talking about a more holistic form of education from the school level itself. So now typically we have separation, from the 10th and 11th standard onwards into arts, science and commerce, wherein students study very fixed subjects depending on what their future interests are. So the National Education Policy has said that there will not be any rigid separation between arts and science. So students can choose any subject they want depending on what their interests are, and there won't be any segregation based on arts, commerce or science. Also, when it comes to extracurricular activities, for instance, like sports or music, that is often neglected in a lot of schools, and only you have, say, weekly once or twice that these activities are taken care of. Now, the NEP or the National Education Policy is talking about extracurricular activities being given an equal importance. So it will not just be your academics, but as well as your extracurricular activities, as well as vocational skills as well. So when it comes to vocational education as well, from the sixth standard onwards, there will be an exposure to vocational education. Now, what this means is that, there could be an artisan, there could be a potter, or there could be a carpenter in your neighborhood or near your school. So from the sixth standard onwards, these students can, visit these craftsmen or these artisans on a weekly basis and understand what are their skills, how do they manufacture their goods, how do they sell them, and also gain a lot of insights from that. Also, subjects like coding as well as artificial intelligence will also be introduced from the sixth standard onwards. So overall, the whole concept is to make education more fun and more holistic for the student, so that the student has knowledge of both academics as well as other skills.
What is the exam structure like for school students?
Compared to the present structure, the government under the National Education Policy is talking about a structure which will be 5+3+3+4. So there will be the initial 5 years, which will be the foundation of your education. Then the next 3 years will be understanding the concepts, and followed by the next 7 years of in-depth knowledge. So while board examinations will still be held, the NEP has said that there won't be an overemphasis on, the whole board examination bit. So there is a proposal that the board exams could be held multiple times, and there will be an emphasis on both the objective questions as well as subjective questions, so that students are good in both the basic theoretical knowledge as well as practicals. So the whole board exam will also be based on knowledge and application, and there won't be an emphasis on rote learning, because right now there is everything about rote learning and there is a lot of money that goes into coaching and other things. So the NEP wants to ensure that it is just the basics of the concept which the student understands, and the student is able to reproduce it in the exams in whatever way they seem fit. So the multiple options in terms of board exams will mean that the whole stress on board exams or the whole focus on scoring very high marks on board exams will go away. It will soon slowly become like any other test that you take up during your regular schools.
Okay. Also, there was a lot of confusion behind this languages. Can you talk about that?
So the National Education Policy has talked about more emphasis on languages that are non-English languages. Right now, when you look at schools, there are typically English medium schools or Hindi medium schools, or regional schools. Like in Maharashtra, you have Marathi medium schools. In Bengal, in West Bengal, you have Bengali medium schools, and so on. So what NEP is saying is that the medium of instruction till at least the fifth grade, and preferably till the eighth grade, has to be in the home language or the mother tongue. Now, there is a lot of confusion because what about, you know, students who say move from one city to the other, and who will enforce this? So, for instance, what, you know, if the this NEP guideline is followed, so in Maharashtra, for instance, till the fifth grade, everybody will be taught all the subjects in Marathi. Right now, English medium schools only have Marathi as a subject which students learn. And apart from that, the other subjects like, say, history or geography or mathematics is taught in English. Now, NEP is saying is that till the fifth standard, all the students will be taught all the subjects in the local language. Now, we neither have teachers who probably have the skills to teach all these subjects in the regional or local language, nor will all students be able to cope up. Now, there is also questions raised about, for instance, if there is a student who, you know, studies only in Marathi or Gujarati or Tamil or Bengali, of all the subjects till the fifth or the eighth grade, and if they plan to go abroad, it will be very difficult for them to catch up, because other countries use English as the main language. For students to understand these concepts in English and to catch up will become difficult. Now, there was a lot of confusion, and a lot of schools had also expressed discontent with this. Now, the Ministry of Education, which has now clarified that this will not be made mandatory across schools, but will be have followed only where this is feasible.
Okay. Moving on to benefits for college students, what does the NEP have for them?
So again, you know, taking a cue from what happened for school students in colleges as well, the NEP is talking about more flexibility as far as choosing subjects are concerned. For instance, if there is a BA or a Bachelor's of Arts student, he or she is unable to take up subjects like, say, thermodynamics or biotechnology, or say subjects like physics or chemistry, because arts has a set of fixed subjects. Similarly, a student who's studying engineering is not able to take up English literature because they don't have it as part of the curriculum. So what NEP is saying is that there won't be any fixed subject-wise limitations. So students can choose whatever subjects they like, and there will be major and minor credits that will be introduced. So an engineering student, for instance, may have, you know, thermodynamics as a major credit, whereas English literature can be taken up as a minor credit. And they could, you know, these could be used for the degree program. So students essentially have the flexibility to choose whatever subjects they like. Similarly, there is also flexibility being given for entry and exit in degree programs. Right now, what happens is, if I enter college, so after 3 years, I can pass out getting a bachelor's degree. What NEP is saying is that you will soon be able to enter and exit whenever you want. For instance, if you complete 1 year, you will get a certificate program. Or if you complete 2 years in a college and exit, you will get a diploma. And after you complete 3 years, you will get a degree. There are also students who probably have some family emergency because of which they have to drop out from colleges. Now, what happens is if a student, you know, typically comes back, he or she has to start off again from the first year. NEP has said that if you have dropped out and you come back, say, within 1 year, then you can join back wherever you left. So, say, if you leave after 2 years, you can come back and directly join the third year. And whatever was your academic credits that you had earned for the first 2 years, that will be stored in the digital locker, which is similar to like a savings bank account, for instance. The way you have a savings bank account and you store money in that, there will be a digital account wherein you store all the degrees and all the certifications that you've earned in the first 2 years. So that way, the students, you know, academic years are also not lost, and they are also, you know, easily able to take sabbaticals as well.
Saraswati, one of the trends that we keep seeing is that Indian students, many of them go abroad to study. Does the NEP have any solutions for this?
That's right, Kitana. You know, every year on an average, about 2 to 3 lakh students go abroad to pursue higher education in places like the United States, the UK, Australia, among other places. So this, you know, it's typically referred to as brain drain because, you know, the best students of the country end up going abroad. And usually what happens is after they complete their education, they end up getting an employment in those countries and they stay back there for the rest of their lives. So what NEP is planning to do is that NEP wants Indian students to be retained back in India. So what they have said that since students are going abroad to say a Harvard or an Oxford or a Stanford, they would want top 100 universities to set up campuses in India. So what you have to remember is that right now, the regulations in India do not permit foreign universities to directly set up campuses in India without a local partnership. So what the Ministry of Education has suggested is that there will be a change in the law wherein foreign universities will be allowed to set up campuses in India. And they will also have a complete autonomy, meaning that they wouldn't probably have to follow the local regulatory rules here. Because say someone like a Harvard or an Oxford have their internal, you know, board of governance that they follow, and all the rules and laws and all the academic curriculum is decided by that. So they will have a bit of their financial and, you know, regulatory autonomy. And so that once they set up campuses in India, these students would no longer have to go abroad to pursue their education. They can stay back in India and contribute more to the Indian economy.
Okay. It would be interesting to see how that pans out. Overall, Saraswati, is the NEP, is it a good news or is it a bad news for students?
Overall, of course, the NEP is good news for students because, you know, we were waiting for this policy for almost 34 years, and a lot of changes and a lot more holistic way of delivering education has been brought in. Now, what we have to see is that how, you know, how well this is implemented across schools and across institutes. The whole, the basic idea behind NEP seems to be is that be it schools or be it colleges, everything has to be multidisciplinary. Now, for that, you know, these educational institutes would also have to get additional funding. So we don't know to what extent the government will be able to fund these institutes to become more technologically savvy and more multidisciplinary. And on the other hand, we don't know to what extent they can raise fees, because if you keep on increasing fees, the dropout rates will also go up. So there could be some implementation challenges, you know, going forward as it is implemented across all institutes. But overall, it is good news for students and it gives them more flexibility and to study subjects that they like.
Right. Let's see how everything pans out in this front. Thank you, Saraswati, for all these details.
Thank you, Kirtana.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of FutureWise. If you have any other queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.